On show 436, Mercedes breaks ground on a new battery factory, VW's lithium deal, and Elon Musk and the SEC told to work it out. Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever you are in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily. Weekend edition, Sunday, 7th of April. It's Martin Lee here. I've been through every EV story I can find over the weekend and picked out the ones to save your time. Got loads in today's show, and of course your answers to question of the week, plus a brand new question which maybe you will want to send me an email or answer. You'll find out what that is at the end of the show. Thank you to MyEV.com for helping make this show. MyEV.com is the world's first marketplace, all about buying and selling EVs on there. The stock just keeps growing and growing all the time. It's not even been a year since we first formed a partnership together, and now there are so many cars on there. It's so different to how it was when they launched last year. If you haven't checked it out recently, if you're in the USA, it's an amazing resource, myev.com. Well, hello to a new Patreon producer. That is you, Gavin. Gavin Hume, hello. Thank you very much for supporting at producer level. As always, we'll read out all the exec producers and above at the end of this show. Mercedes-Benz have been laying the foundations for a battery factory at the site of the Untertürkheim plant in Germany. The construction of the battery factory at the Brühl sub-plant began with the symbolic foundation laying ceremony. By the end of the decade, Mercedes-Benz cars will produce high-efficiency traction batteries for future Mercedes-Benz EVs and the EQ-branded cars. On their 12,000-square-metre, newly-erected, carbon-neutral battery factory, says Green Car Congress. Well, the new battery factory is an important part of the global battery production network within Mercedes-Benz cars. It's going to have 9 battery factories at 7 locations on 3 different continents. And Mercedes-Benz Cars is investing more than €1 billion in a global battery production network within the worldwide Mercedes-Benz wider production network. Local battery production is going to be a major success factor in the EV initiative of Merck and the crucial component when it comes to meeting the worldwide demand, the company said. It's interesting that so many car manufacturers, so many automakers are going down this route now. And actually, for many years, and this isn't Mercedes or isn't anyone in particular, when Tesla did the Gigafactory, I mean, years ago, my goodness, if you weren't like following EV news and stuff back at the time, Elon Musk and Tesla took, you think they take heat now, they took a load of heat for building a battery factory with Panasonic. There was literally so many voices, particularly those in the automotive sector, so-called experts and commentators and analysts, that just ripped into Tesla for saying, well, just it was such a massive risk, the company, and why would you want to build your own batteries when you can buy them from the worldwide battery market? Many years later, many companies that want control over that supply chain are doing exactly that. It's not so much playing catch-up because, of course, these many companies had the investments they had to make all those years ago. They simply weren't in a position that they're not a full EV maker. But there is a little bit of catch-up going on here with some of these companies. The thing is, it's not like Tesla's standing still. So as some companies are saying, well, we're going to make our own batteries, or we're going to buy the cells but assemble the batteries, I mean, that's all well and good, but these facilities take time to make. And by the end of the decade, they might well be where they need to be for themselves, but you look over your shoulder at the competition and they'll be doing something very different. So definitely one to watch. Let's talk VW while we're talking batteries. VW said yesterday it has now secured 10 years worth of lithium for electric car batteries from a Chinese manufacturer. They're called Ganfeng. The two firms signed a memorandum of understanding on long-term lithium supplies for the battery cells that VW need, they said in a statement. They didn't reveal the financial terms, but Volkswagen is securing a significant share of its lithium requirements, they say, in the local.de, with harsh EU emissions limits set to bite from next year in 2020, and they're going to toughen even further in 2030, the company, which has 12 brands underneath it, needs to make something like 70 new electric models in the next 10 years. It's emerging from the shadow of Dieselgate, and VW aims to sell around 22 million EVs over the coming decade to escape any kind of fines here in Europe from Brussels to do with emissions. Each smartphone battery, for instance, a smartphone battery has about 3 grams of lithium. A laptop battery, that's about 30. An electric car battery has more than 20 kilograms of lithium. And so they are doing what they need to do to secure their cell production and therefore their battery production lines. And it's something that I always remind people of as well. When VW do anything, such as the scale of VW, if they're talking about the brand and the group VW doing it, the numbers are just insanely large. If you're talking about someone like Porsche or even Audi, maybe, you can afford the numbers to be smaller, maybe more luxury cars or just short runs of cars or low runs of cars. But if VW are going to put something out under their own name, like they are the VW ID, they've got to do it with big numbers. And that must be a huge headache for those that write the checks. Let's talk Elon Musk and the SEC. A federal judge in New York has ordered Tesla's CEO Elon Musk and the US securities regulators to meet for at least an hour to settle their dispute over Elon Musk's tweets. The judge was Allison Nathan, and the judge told both sides on Friday to send her a letter by April the 18th at the latest saying whether they'd reached a deal, and if they don't, Allison Nathan will decide on the Securities and Exchange Commission's motion to find Musk in contempt, says CBS. Whereas TheStreet.com gives quite an optimistic for Tesla review of the situation. The regulator said weeks ago that Musk was in contempt over a tweet in February that misstated, then clarified, a 2019 production forecast for vehicles. The agency argued that the tweets demonstrated that no one at Tesla was keeping watch on Elon Musk's communications, as was mandated by the settlement last year. Musk's attorneys countered that the standard for what tweets must be reviewed wasn't clear to charge Musk with contempt. Jim Cramer said that he considers the hearing a big win for Tesla because the judge punted it into the distance and told him to go work it out. She was in no interest to be finding Elon Musk in contempt of court. You go away, you work it out. She just was not interested. So Jim Cramer, who's a very famous financial guy, if you don't know, in the US, reckons that's a big win for Tesla. They now have to go away with the SEC and work out some sort of compromise, some sort of deal. Maybe it'll be financial. Who knows? Let's move on to Toyota. Toyota is going to offer other car firms royalty-free use of nearly 24,000 patents that it holds for EV technology, or rather electrified technology, because of course they are famous for hybrids, in a bid to accelerate the development of such machines, says James Atwood for Autocar. Well, the royalty-free technology licenses relate to things like systems, including electric motors, power control systems, and systems controls. While the bulk have been developed for Toyota's hybrid technology, the firm says they can be applied to plug-in hybrids or fuel cell vehicles. Toyota will offer a fee-based technical support to firms producing electrified vehicles that feature Toyota's motors, batteries, power, and electric control systems. It says the guidance will allow firms to achieve high levels of vehicle performance. And that's kind of interesting that, like Tesla do, and they make all of their patents open and available to the public, Toyota are copying them and following suit and putting 24,000 patents out there for free. Of course, I can imagine, by the way, that these will be relatively old technology. I don't think they'll be putting anything on the market that is cutting edge. It'll probably be everything to do with hybrid technology because, like, you know where I stand on this. I'd like everyone to be driving a full EV, or at least you've got to be able to put electricity into a car. Clean, green, renewable electricity into a car. Toyota's hybrids, apart from the plug-in Prius, which they make, and hopefully they'll make a full EV really soon, they have this advertising thing going on about self-charging hybrids, which makes it sound like some sort of magical mystery technology, like that they've invented perpetual motion somehow. You have to mine and burn to do that. And if you burn fossil fuels, if you create emissions, you are contributing to the continuing decline in health of people around the world, particularly young people whose young lungs. You know, we put babies in strollers at exhaust level. That's mad, isn't it? And it particularly causes them more harm than others. If you are making any kind of technology that has emissions, I mean, we're not really going to see eye to eye. And so it's fair enough that I guess these companies have to have a transition period. But really, I think that probably their marketing department have looked at it and gone, well, look, our technology is not full electric technology. We can't market that. So let's make the best of what we've got, which is to kind of make up this phrase self-charging hybrid, which makes it sound like it does more than it really does. There's a little bit of regen from braking. But, you know, if you're not... If you're new to this issue, that's kind of where I stand on that. And so, it is frustrating that I think many people who are not technically as literate or they just don't take an interest will probably see that and go, wow, sounds cutting edge. I'll buy one of theirs. And of course, Toyota would say that their hybrids are high tech. I would probably argue differently in that their technology, whilst it was first and they did an amazing job with the Prius, I just don't want to drive a car that burns anything, that does people direct harm. If those people can sleep at night, then, you know, it takes all sorts in this world, doesn't it? So, holy moly, you wonder why Toyota are doing that and making their patents available for free. It could be to promote hybrid technology, to get other people to make cars now with this kind of free knowledge that's out there. The more people making hybrids, maybe they're hoping that hybrids will catch on and that actually hybrids will win, or that fuel cells will become more popular because they've released this, or maybe it's older technology that they're putting out there to kind of keep all the latest stuff to themselves, if you like. So other people can copy them and, you know, use their technology that's been around a long time, and they move onwards and upwards. No doubt Toyota have incredibly smart people working for them, and they could be, if they wanted to, they could be making amazing full electric vehicles, if that's where they shone their spotlight and their investment, their R&D. They're not yet. Who knows? They might be in the future. For now, I mean, I wouldn't drive a Toyota, but not saying that I would never drive one in the future. They made a great EV, and it's certainly that advertising campaign that's all around the world, which has got many, many people really upset because it's that issue about corporate responsibility, isn't it? And I just, personally, my legacy, I wouldn't want to be making cars that have emissions, but like I say, we are in a transition period. Let's move on finally to Tesla. Earlier this week, Tesla announced another software update for its vehicles. The update, which brought Tesla's vehicles a step closer to autonomous driving, highlighted how rapidly the automaker can deploy a new feature all through one single over-the-air update, says Daniel Sparks for Motley Fool today. That update he's talking about is the ability to change lanes without you instigating it by pushing down hard or up hard on the indicator stalk. And so this new update, Navigate on Autopilot, so it's kind of non-confirmation lane change kind of thing they're talking about describing it. But in other words, it will just change lanes for you on autopilot. Well, based on another announcement from Tesla last week, there's much more to come on this front. Elon's always tweeting about it as well, by the way, and just saying that, because he gets to drive the beta stuff, and it's just what's coming is just going to be incredible. The company announced it is unveiling its in-house developed full self-driving computer at an event. It's going to be in Palo Alto, California, on April 22nd now. I know I told you a different date on an earlier podcast, but they shunted it by about 3 or 4 days. So it's now moved to April 22nd. At the event, Tesla executives are going to discuss this new computer. They're going to give test drives to experience what the features are and give people test drives with features that are under development, which nobody else has seen yet. That's so cool. Hey, let's move on to question of the week this week. And it was an interesting question all to do with safety and security and, in many ways, privacy as well. EVs are connected cars. We are just talking about an over-the-air update. Of course, that means it needs a SIM card. Tesla can tell where all of their cars are in their fleet. Tesla record data. They record cameras for things like Sentry mode. So how much do you value privacy versus convenience? Because this connectivity does give you a convenience. Well, Rajiv Narayan says, with respect to question of the week, I feel that my data and location are already tracked in so many ways. My phone, my smart TV, CCTV, credit card usage, such that the incremental risk of tracking my smart car smart in inverted commas, not smart car, but cars that are smart, is minimal. That the advantages in terms of allowing software upgrades is greater. Also, this sort of tracking is already present in many ICE cars now. For example, most GM cars in the US have OnStar, which tracks your location if you pay for the service or not. David Nye says, for the vast majority of us, it's totally irrelevant. Who doesn't have a smartphone? That gives away far more information to anyone who can get access to the data than a connected car ever will. I'm not going to lose sleep over it, as I have nothing to hide. In fact, it would be pretty boring if it was accessed and identified by anyone more. Most of this sort of data is normally totally de-identified, says David Nye. Yeah, good point, actually. A lot of the data doesn't have any identifiers with it, so they can't tell who drove that particular route. Simon Clark says, with reference to your question on connected cars and privacy, this matter came up about 12 months ago or so on LinkedIn with specific reference to GDPR. There wasn't a clear-cut answer, but it's not just connected cars. Most modern cars record telemetry in their engine management system, which is then downloaded when the car is serviced. Different cars record different things, but all of that data is ultimately available to the manufacturer. However, you don't need an EV to be connected. A number of cars, including my Peugeot, are online either directly or via my phone. Hi, Joshua. Joshua Pritt says, privacy in connected cars? What about smartphones? If you have a smartphone already, you're not giving up any more privacy than you already have. Only now, both Google and the car company can track you. It's worth it, though, since you can track your car if it's stolen, automatically call for help in a crash. In fact, I even pay a monthly fee for this with OnStar. Having the cameras inside will help figure out who messed up your car if you loan it out, and you can always cover it up with tape or something if you're paranoid. Like those that cover their laptop camera with a sticker or tape. I myself am not bothered one bit. I even have an Amazon Echo in almost every room of my house so I can turn the lights on and off and set the temperature from wherever I am. Yeah, Joshua, we have three Alexas in the house as well, and they do listen to everything. I know that they are only really listening for the wake word, but they do listen to everything, don't they? Andrew Jacobs says, connectivity in cars is great. There are so many advantages, such as being able to remotely control the car, over-the-air updates and internet connectivity. However, information collected by companies should always be in the control of the customer. They must be able to turn off or on any information that's sent, even if it sacrifices functionality. John Frith says, the question of privacy is old and stale. The train has left the station, the ship has sailed, the jury is in. In general, society only works when there's a certain level of trust. We already voted in favour of convenience over privacy. Here is my evidence. We routinely hand over our ID for security checks. We conduct business with credit cards. Transactions can be tracked. We allow pre-authorized payments on our bank accounts for regular bills. We share our intimate lives on social media. I could go on, but you get the picture. And finally, Mia. Mia Oppelstrup says, for me, whether my EV is connected or not, it's not just a trade-off between my own convenience and privacy, but also the greater good. If sharing my driving data helps make EVs the best self-driving cars, if it helps make them safer, or it helps companies better plan charging networks based on where EV drivers actually travel, I'm all in. However, I do believe that each person should have full control of their own data, and EV drivers should have the ability to opt out of tracking should they wish to do so. Thanks kindly for all you do to supporting EVs, says Mia. No, thank you for your support. Well, let's move on to a brand new question of the week, and it's a bit more of a light-hearted one this week, a bit of fun, and actually maybe a bit of advice for me. This is based on a tweet that I sent yesterday. I was flicking through Teslas on... See, we haven't got myev.com here in the UK yet. And so I was flicking through one of the other websites, which is, to be honest, not the easiest because it's full of fossil cars. But anyway, at least you can specify Tesla, so you know that every car that you see is going to be electric. And I sorted it in price order, and there was one which was pretty cheap. And it sold, well, I mean, I know the backstory of this car, by the way. It sold at auction for about £28,000 recently. And then the dealer put it straight on for sale on their lot about £10,000 more. No one's buying it. So they keep reducing it. And now it's on for a little more than they paid for it at auction. I think they paid like 28 something, because I know the person who lost out on it. And then I think it's on the market for like 34. So you'd get it maybe 32,000. So they're going to make a quick buck. They've probably cleaned it, thrown a bucket of water over it. But here's the thing. It's a Model S and it's done 300,000 miles. And I sent a tweet out saying, I'm tempted to buy it just to see what happens to if you own a really high mileage Tesla. Like, is stuff going to start going wrong and be really expensive to fix? Of course, you know, if you buy from Tesla, you get all those assurances, but this is third party. So I sent a tweet out and I got so much response that I thought, you know what? I want to know your take on this. Would you buy a very high mileage EV? And by high mileage, I'm going to define 250,000 more or plus miles. So would you buy an EV that's done 250,000 plus miles? And should I buy this one? Because it's a Model S for like £30,000, which in this country is pretty cheap. But it's done 300,000 miles. Is stuff about to start going massively wrong? Or could I do another 100,000 miles and it wouldn't miss a beat? But what about warranty? That's a lot of money to spend. Tell me your thoughts. Give me your advice. Weigh in on this one. I want to know where you stand. Would you buy a high mileage EV? You can email me hello@evnewsdaily.com. That is hello@evnewsdaily.com. My personal email, or you can leave comments on YouTube and Facebook and myev.com. Time for the endy bit and the Patreon supporters, of which there are 210. Thank you very, very much. Our premium partners, thank you. Phil Roberts from Electric Future. That's EF.energy is Phil's website. If you want to check out big scale solar projects here in the UK, check out Phil. Hi to Brad Crosby as well, another premium partner of the podcasts. Thank you, Brad. Been supporting me since the beginning of the year. Hello to our partners. David Allen is a partner of the show. Thank you so much. Also, OEM Audio of New Zealand and evpower.co.nz. If you're in New Zealand, want some cables, some connectors, check out evpower.co.nz. Sasha Pallenberg is always on Twitter to give me a bit of motivation, a bit of advice at times as well. And hello to Paul O'Connor and all of our exec producers, Alan Robson, Alex Banahini, Alexander Frank, Arod Gear Skalsveen. Hello to Ashley Hill, Biard Fuchstack, Barry Penniston, Bob Muir from gingercomputers.com in Dundee, Borislav Borisov, Brent Kingsford, Brian Thompson, Brian Weatherall, Brian Young, Cesar Trujillo, Chris Benson, Chris Hopkins, Craig Coles, Craig Rogers, Damian Davis, Darren Bird, Darren Sant. Now, Darren has started the Yorkshire EV Club. If you're in the UK and you're anywhere near, Yorkshire EV Club is up and running. It's new. We love it. Well done, Dazza. Darren Sants. Hello to Dave Jewson, David Barkman. Hello to David Finch, David Partington, David Prescott, Dirk Rotsatz, Don McAllister from screencastsonline.com. I've recently moved over to a MacBook Air after being a PC boy for the last few years, and so I'll be checking out screencastsonline.com and Don's expert knowledge. Hello to Enrico, Stefan Schillo, Frederick Rovick, George Clargo, Jack Oakley, James Storr, Jason Fan, Jeff Urbees, Jerry Allison. Hello to Jill Smith, John Bailey, John, who is otherwise known as Beardy McBeardface on socials in the UK. Hello to John Nodell, John Timmis, Juan Gonzalez, Ken Morris, Kevin Mason, Kira Van Yam, Lars Dallager, Lawrence D. Allen, Lejek Grill, Louis Hopkin, Luke Cully, Marcel Lohman, Marcel Ward, Martin Croft, Matt Piscioni. Hello to Matthew Ellis, Matthew Gruby, Maz Shah, and Mia Oppelstrop, Mike Rogers, Mike Pastrone or Pastroni. Hello to Mike Winter, Nathan Gore Brown, Neil E. Roberts and his gang at Sussex EVs, Ohad Aston, Paul Seeger Smith, Paul Stevenson, Pete Glass, Phil Mouchet, Philippe Calvé, Raj Badwell, Rajiv Narayan, Ralph Jensen or Jensen, Renee Schneider, Rob Cooling from appledriving.co.uk, teaching people to learn to drive in EVs, Rupert Mitchell, Sarah McCann, Scott Callahan, Seki Payne, Steve John, Stuart Hanna, the Limousine Line in Sydney, Walter McVane, who is a must follow on Twitter for his knowledge, and Zach Hurst as well. There are 435 previous shows online for free. Get the new ones. Hit subscribe on your podcast app, on YouTube, on the blog, evnewsdaily.com, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, and get new ones first and free and automatically. Come and say hi on Facebook, LinkedIn or Twitter by searching EV News Daily. Have a wonderful day. I'll catch you tomorrow for the start of a brand new week. And remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.